Hey, this is Colin Jost. The last episode of This Blonde Can Talk About Anything was incorrectly introduced as episode 105 when it was actually 104. It's my fault. I'm not sure how, but it is. This is actually episode 105. And here's your host, Melanie.
Welcome to episode 105 of This Blonde Can Talk About Anything. I'm your host, Melanie, with two L's because the spelling of your name doesn't change from one week to the next, or in this case, nearly a month to the next. When in doubt, blame Colin Jost, because I'm pretty sure I also said in the podcast that it was 105 when it was actually 104, which makes me feel really dumb, but shit happens. Life is not perfect. I certainly am not perfect. And so I decided to use Colin Jost's AI-generated voice as a scapegoat. It's his fault. It's his fault because last week I was pretty emotional and I was in tears because he may or may not be leaving Weekend Update, and I get so attached to people so quickly. Anyway, I am not here to talk about Colin Jost or Weekend Update. It's been almost a month since I've done an episode, and I would like to apologize for that. I have mentioned to you guys that I'm like in the midst of moving, so I don't even have my podcast equipment set up. I'm just using the mini mic, so if it sounds a little off, that could be why. And that's also why I haven't been inclined really to book guests, because everything is kind of everywhere and nobody needs to see a bunch of, like, you know, boxes everywhere. So I'm in the midst of moving. I've been getting sick a lot, and I did something really fun and funny during that time, but I'm going to save it for another show. I could have gone, you know, a few more weeks and waited until I was moved and settled into my new place and had everything set up before doing another episode. But if you've listened to my podcast in the past, you know that mental health is something that I relate to very personally for very different reasons. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Now, I understand it's May 24th, so the month is basically over, but I still wanted to hop on and do a mental health awareness episode. Ironically, I'm recording it on my dad's birthday, the same dad who has been the cause of so much of my mental health deterioration. What a gift. this is not about me. I want to talk about mental health awareness overall. And I also did some research so that I could speak to it uniquely as an artist and how it affects artists, because the majority of us have some mental health issues and you just don't know. And creatives actually tend to be affected by mental illnesses significantly more frequently than the average person, which is probably mind-boggling to anyone who's a non-creative listening to this, because when we create, you just see the final product and you think that that person must be so put together to create this, and that's categorically false. So for those of you who have been listening to the pod, I've been doing this for I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm stumbling on words. I'm very tired. I'm just making excuses now. I need to stop tripping on words. I'm not perfect. We all know I am not Oprah. This is a way to engage with people and to chat, but it's never going to be so polished as Oprah, because that's just not me. I'm just Melanie and she's Oprah. And thankfully we're two very different people, because if there was two Oprahs in the world, I think the world would implode because she's just such a genius. But I'm veering off topic again. Okay, so if you've been around for the last 4 years while I've been doing this podcast, you may have listened to my Mental Health Awareness Month episodes before, and you may be familiar with my story. I did an episode on this story in the very early aughts, and it was about surviving my own suicide, something that very much I'm grateful for, but something that like resonates with me always, and it's always there. And so I'm a suicide survivor, for those of you who didn't know, and to not beat around the bush. not only did I survive my own suicide, I have also survived losing more than one friend to suicide. So I've met suicide at different levels, and I've survived it at both levels, and both levels are excruciatingly hard. Surviving my own suicide, I see as a gift, and I will not lie to you. There have been times where I have really thought that maybe I should try again, because maybe I don't have anything to offer this world, or maybe I'm just in so much pain and nobody could possibly be in more pain than me, so I should just, you know, end my life and make it easier for everyone. But this is not the answer, and I learned that the hard way when I lost my best friend. And again, if you've listened to this podcast before, you've heard the story before. I lost my best friend to suicide. He was tall, dark, and handsome, successful. He had it kind of all, but it still wasn't enough. And to wake up one day and not have that person in my life anymore was very difficult for me and continues to be difficult. He's been gone for 7 years, and I'm still talking about it as if it was yesterday because it still affects me that way. So number one, if you are someone who's listening to this and you're thinking that maybe this, you know, suicide would be the answer to your problems, you're wrong. You're very, very wrong. Because when you end your life, all you do is you end your suffering, I suppose, but you create suffering for someone else who will carry that with them for the rest of their lives. So I just want to warn you against ending your life. It's never the answer. And you would be leaving a lot of people behind, hurting and questioning, even if you feel like absolutely no one cares. So let's get into the topic at hand here, which is, you know, mental health awareness and whatnot. So when people hear about mental health, they automatically go to, oh, mental illness. But the truth is mental health and mental illness are separate things. We all have mental health to protect, just like physical health. It's a spectrum, right? So you could have a very healthy mind, or you could have a sick mind. You could have a very healthy heart, or you could have a sick heart. You could have a very healthy prostate, or you could, you know, have a very unhealthy prostate. I'm just using these as examples, and I don't know why I went with prostate. Anyway, so what mental health refers to is, like, how do we handle stress? How do we relate to other people? How do we manage our emotions? How are we making decisions? Like, good mental health doesn't mean you're happy all the time either, by the way. It just means that you have the tools and hopefully the support from family and friends to cope with life when it gets really, really difficult. And let's be honest, it gets difficult for every single one of us at some point. And I'll be the first to admit, I don't handle stress well. I have recently been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. I've started to have flashbacks of, you know, my grandfather dying in front of me. And I've had a few uncontrollable panic attacks that were brought on from remembering things that I had long forgotten. And I don't know how to manage those emotions because they are not my emotions. They are the emotions of myself at 10 years old. And that version of me doesn't understand any of this stuff. So she just wants to cry, scream, and throw up. Like, it's hard. So when I experience that, I need to take a pill, which is embarrassing, yes. But I'm admitting this on the pod because if somebody else out there also feels embarrassed, I just want you to know that some of the most put together people on the planet are like popping Xanax like it's candy. They have to. That's how they cope. And I'm also very fortunate to have my mom and a few really good friends who put up with me being frantic over pretty much everything. Like, my mom could have a chronic cough and I'll just start texting my friends and being like, oh my God, do you think my mom's gonna die? And blah, 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 blah. And my friends are like, oh my God, Melanie, calm down. And they try to calm me down. But the worst part is, my friends also have their own mental health issues and they're still, you know, putting in the time to try to make sure that I get through the hardest moments for me. And yes, I do the same for them when I'm in a position to do so. And that's why awareness is, like, so important, because staying quiet about it leads to stigma, and stigma keeps people from asking for help. So this is something that I discovered in my research. The reality is that 1 in 5 adults experience a mental illness in any given year, which is a pretty large percentage of the population. And this one really hurts. Suicide is one of the leading causes of death worldwide. We have all of these diseases, okay? And people are choosing to end their lives on their own. It's mind-boggling. You could have a completely healthy body, but if your mind doesn't have it, it's not healthy, and you don't have friends or a physician or someone who's willing to help you, you end up dead. Like, it's something that I have trouble talking about, because I think about my friend and I think about myself, and I think about the fact that I have a doctor who is not going to be named because she's not a very good doctor, and I could go in there every single day and tell her that, you know, I don't sleep, and she's like, I don't have to give you anything to help you sleep, that's at my discretion, or I'm having anxiety. Well, I tried you on so many anxiety medications, so what else do you want me to do? I am not the doctor you are. And these things, I do wonder if these horrible like doctors that are like this are just like, why? Like, I wonder if this is contributing to people committing suicide, because I'll be honest with you, this is something that happened to me recently. After the doctor, I have only shared this story with my best friend, and my mom was there to experience it. So the doctor decided that since I had PTSD, I should be put back on this medication that I had been on for a while, like a long time ago. It's an antidepressant, and I had not been on it for a long time because I was no longer in that place. And so the brand name is Wellbutrin, and like the clinical name, I guess, or the chemical name is bupropion. And she put me on max dose of this medication, which I know is quite dangerous and can lead to suicidal thoughts. However, because I'd been on it before, I did not expect that. And I was on it for 6 days. And by the 6th day, I was actively attempting to kill myself. So yeah, medication is not always, misused medication is not always the best way to treat it. So I immediately came off the bupropion, and I am no longer suicidal. I do still struggle with anxiety. And yes, I have bad days, but I would rather have one bad day than end my life and miss all the beautiful things that are going to happen in the future. So in my research, I've also discovered that millions of people live with conditions like anxiety, depression, PTSD, and even bipolar disorder, and often are never diagnosed or treated for it. So something happened to me last summer that I believe triggered the PTSD. I was assaulted, which I mentioned on another podcast. We're not going to rehash it, but I was assaulted, and that every time I see that person, I take off running and just have a really adverse reaction. But ever since that, I've started to remember more and more about my grandfather's passing and how I seen it. And it becomes more and more vivid every time, which is scary. So there's a good chance that I've probably been struggling with PTSD since I'm 10 years old without being diagnosed, without needing treatment, because I could cope with it to an extent, probably because my brain would bandage it. And I had forgotten, to be quite honest. I didn't remember most of that. I knew he died. I remembered, you know, seeing him at the hospital before he, you know, was pronounced dead. He was on life support, but I didn't remember that I was there when he had the heart attack and fell on the floor and ultimately died. So the more we talk about, you know, mental health and conditions like this, the more we are able to normalize it, and we're able to educate people. And the more we're able to educate, I think the more we break down the fear that people are going to judge us. Like, awareness isn't just a buzzword, guys. It can really be a lifeline for a lot of people. So this is why I do these things. And this is why I tell my truths, even though they're not all pretty. Like, I package myself into a very what some people would say a beautiful package, but I package myself in such a way that people don't know if what kind of a day I'm having. So I completely understand the stigma that I always believed to, like, oh, well, depression could never happen to me. Like, my mom had a mental breakdown when I was a teenager, and I was like, that could never happen to somebody like me. I'm too smart. I'm too pretty. I'm too whatever to ever be depressed or suffer from anxiety or trauma or anything. Like, I really believed that this happened to other people until it happened to me. And that's essentially like story that I've told on here many times. It can happen to anyone, and it doesn't discriminate, and it's so, so hard. So again, this is going back to the research that I did. Mental health challenges can look different for everyone. And it says, here are some common signs to watch for in yourself and others. And if I see any of these that are like pertaining to me, I will make a note to that. I will make a note to that effect while I'm talking about it. So feeling sad or hopeless for long periods of time. This has happened to me. Definitely after my friend committed suicide, I felt sad and hopeless for a very long time, to the point that I gained a lot of weight and I became a part of my couch. So if you're feeling this way, you should, when I say that I became part of the couch, I mean, I just wasn't really moving anymore. I just didn't care. I had lost my will to live, if you will. So if you're feeling this way, you should probably talk to someone just to weigh your options and so that you can get better. I'm even willing to admit that I felt sad and hopeless and still feel that way and have every single day since Tom Brady retired, which is stupid to a lot of people. But for me, it's a grief because the end of his playing career is akin to the death of another part of my grandfather who was a huge football fan and who like watched Tom Brady. And so I have this sense of hopelessness, and it'll creep up on me some days, and I'll watch videos of Tom playing football and I'll cry, and I know that it's completely unhinged, but part of me still wants him to come out of retirement, even though I know that's never going to happen, which speaks to my absolute delusion. So next on the list is withdrawal from friends or activities. I have done this, but I don't really do it anymore. I really like to be around my friends because I have really good friends now, like the kind of friends that I can call at like 2 or 3 in the morning just because I'm upset. I have those friends now. I didn't for a really long time. And I don't really like, I'm not somebody who likes to be sitting around in my house all day. Like, I like to do activities. But if you feel that you're withdrawing from friends or you don't want to do things that you used to really love, again, there's no shame in discussing this with your doctor. So changes in sleep or appetite. I can't really speak to this because my sleep patterns have been relatively chaotic since I'm a child and I have chronic insomnia, right? So yeah, I can't really speak to that, but definitely speak to a doctor if you're experiencing that. Changes in appetite are, for me, are generally hormonal. I don't eat like a ton. So that's one thing that I've not personally experienced, but if you're experiencing it, I think you should definitely, even if you don't want to talk to a doctor, talk to somebody who you trust and who you feel can help you. Difficulty concentrating. I have days where I can't even watch a movie because my head is like a basket case, but it's not every day. And I don't think that it has anything to do with, for me personally, mental illness. I think when I don't sleep enough, I can't focus on anything. So a few other symptoms are irritability or mood swings. I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Don't want to go back. Feeling numb, disconnected, or unusually anxious. I have felt numbness and disconnected usually while on antidepressants. So for me, that was a side effect of the medication, but for some, it is a side effect of deteriorating mental health. Thoughts of self-harm or suicide, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt as well, almost died. It's scary. And if you are feeling that way, even if I don't know you, reach out to me, reach out to anyone who will listen, because I promise you by the end of the conversation, you're going to come to the understanding that your life is worth something and you won't want to die. If I could tell you all the things that I would have missed if I had died when I tried to kill myself the first time, which is the time that I very nearly did die, you probably would be shocked because I've missed out. I would have missed out on things that I never even imagined were possible. So yeah, if any of the things that I just talked about like resonate with you personally, you really don't have to go through it alone. There's a lot of places that you can get help, including my Instagram. I will not give you like professional help because I'm not a doctor, but I can guide you to somewhere that will be able to give you that help if you need. And if you just want to talk, I'm here for that. See, it's unfortunate because even though we've come, you know, very far with this, despite all of that, mental health struggles are still so stigmatized that many people don't want to seek support because they're afraid to be judged. The stigma is there. Some of them don't have access to the care that they need, and a lot of people don't think it's serious enough. I'm one of those people who's like, no, no, it'll just go away, like just tough it out kind of thing. And sometimes that does work, and other times it doesn't. But let me say this, and let me say it clearly. You deserve help. Before you hit rock bottom and are not here anymore, do not wait until things get unbearable. And like, asking for help is not a weakness. It's probably like an act of a strength, really, because it takes a lot to say to somebody, hey, I'm not okay. Like, for somebody like me, I have so much pride. I take so much pride in the way I look, the way I carry myself, and all of that. Do you think that I ever felt good or comfortable when the doctor told me, you know, you should be on antidepressants? And I went on them and I told nobody because I didn't want people to know that I was on them. And now I'm not anymore because I got better. And truly, it is my art and my fellow contemporaries who make art, who got me through that, who got me better. But I struggle with anxiety now, and I'm dealing with PTSD. If you want to get help, like I said, you can start really small by talking about mental health, like I said, with your doctor, and your friends and loved ones, or your favorite podcast host who's willing to listen. But be mindful of language when you're talking to people who have mental health issues, like somebody who has bipolar disorder, for example. If they have an episode, do not call that person crazy. And this is me speaking from experience. Do not say, just get over it, because I have a friend who has active anxiety. And I've told this story before as well. She dropped her wallet down the storm drain in Beverly Hills. And even though there was nothing in the wallet, she had like all her money and stuff, she had a complete meltdown. And I told her to get over it at the end of an hour. And she was like, you don't understand, my wallet, blah, blah. And I totally understand, because if it would have happened to me, I don't know how I would have reacted. But yeah, don't say things like that, because like, it doesn't work out very well in the end. Before saying anything, I think it's important to educate yourself on what you're talking about. And if you're not educated on it and you don't understand, maybe just stay quiet or just wait the situation out or offer support. But don't try to say like, get over it, or you're fucking crazy, or something like that. And also, if you have resources, access to resources, share those resources with your friends. There's absolutely no shame in promoting resources. I used to do so much work for the Trevor Project, just because I wanted to, not because I'm part of the LGBTQ community, just because the suicide rates in that community were so bad that I felt I needed to do something. And I used to do so much work for Trevor, and people would ask me all the time, are you gay? Are you gay? And I would be like, no, but you don't need to be gay to understand that people are dying over something completely preventable. So like, that's what I mean when I say there's no shame in sharing your resources, because I didn't feel any shame in sharing what the Trevor Project does. And I didn't feel any shame when people asked me if I was gay, because even if I was, would it matter, you know? But what it all comes down to is, if you want to help other people, you have to be able to take care of your own mental health, whether that's, you know, therapy, journaling, resting, watching movies, which is like what does it for me, or just talking to like your best friend. You need to invest in your mental health, because you're worth it and you're worth, you know, living. So this episode really is just to serve as a reminder that mental health is not just an individual issue. It's a community issue. And when we all, you know, speak to our issues, when we all listen and when we all support each other, we create an environment where healing is possible. And then we start to feel like, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not broken. My story matters, things like that. So I said that I wanted to talk about on this particular episode about how mental health affects like millions of people who bring the very art that heals us into this world. It's the intersection of creativity and mental health is kind of like a very crazy. And so I really wanted to get into that because I'm an actor and I, these are, as my mom calls them, these are my people. So whether somebody is a musician or a writer or an actor, or even somebody who just feels really deeply and creates because they want to, like not necessarily because they want to have a career doing it, this episode is really for and dedicated to them, because those are the people that I'm most around, and those are the same people that have saved my life without even knowing it. And it's so sad, you know. Mental health challenges are extremely, like, even more prevalent among creatives than the general population. Like, research, like, has suggested that musicians, writers, actors, and other types of artists have a higher rate of depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and suicidal thoughts. Thankfully, I have never abused a substance. I'm the daughter of an alcoholic, and I have seen what that looks like, and I have never wanted to see myself behaving like that. It's not cute. So I, like you, wondered like why creatives are so, you know, much more at risk to develop mental health issues. And it's because creating requires so much vulnerability and it involves a lot of solitude. The reason that it involves so much solitude is you tell somebody you're an actor, but you're not famous. They'll tell you you're not, and they'll laugh at you. And I know, because this has happened to me. You don't have to be famous to be a musician. You don't have to be famous to be an actor. You don't have to be famous to be a painter. You are that because it's what you do. You are born essentially to create, and this leads to you needing to be more vulnerable, which is why I used to talk about my grandpa on here every episode, and I think I probably still do, but I used to do it with like tears in my eyes. And now I've gotten to a point where I can talk about him without constantly crying, but I do cry because I miss him. So yeah, we spend a lot of time alone for these reasons, because we need to be alone to create. And then when we try to get into groups, if we're not in groups with people who understand what we do and why we do it or why we would want to do it, and that you don't have to be famous to be an actor, we are not like understood or welcomed there, and we are mocked. And that's really hard too. Being a creative demands so much emotional openness, and that's the thing that makes creative work like so powerful. But it also leaves the person that's creating the beautiful thing feeling exposed and sometimes overwhelmed. Like, I'm trying to write a script right now, screenplay about my grandpa and I's relationship, because it was such a beautiful thing. And it's so hard. And it does make you feel exposed, because it's a story about two people, but there were other people around, like amazing people like my mom and my grandma, and then like not so great people like my dad and his mom. And they're all sort of pieces of the story. And it's like, yes, I want to expose the world to the beautiful relationship that I had with my grandfather, who was, you know, the Wizard of Oz, but I don't want them to see the ugliness that, you know, is my dad and the relationship that my dad and I had from a very, very young age. Because what will people think of me if they knew that my dad and I never really had a relationship and never really liked each other, I guess you could say. And don't get me wrong, I do love my dad. He put me in the world ultimately, and I'm grateful to be here. But it's hard to love somebody who doesn't understand you and is committed to not understanding you, and that can present its own set of challenges. So anyway, that's a whole other story. Another reason why actors, musicians, artists in general are more prone to having mental health issues is because there's a lot of rejection, a lot of instability. Your income is like inconsistent. You start to wonder, like, you know, am I good enough? And you start comparing yourself to other people. And eventually, over time, it chips away at your self-worth. And you'll be like 27 years old and thinking you need a facelift so that you can look like a 17-year-old again. And I say this from personal experience. It's a very tricky thing. I'm very proud to be a creative. But there's a lot of suffering. Like, it's a commonly known thing that we all say to each other that, you know, in order to make great art, you have to suffer. And tortured poets and tragic rock and roll stars and things like that, or like painters who struggled their entire lives to be recognized and only become like famous after their death, like all of that stuff plays in. And it's like, yeah, the pain can really inspire art, but like sustained suffering will drain your creativity too. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword, because you'll get burnt out and then you'll isolate yourself from people in a bad way. Like, if I'm creating something, if I'm writing or if I'm doing an audition or whatever, I need to be isolated because I can't have my friends who are non-actors in the room sitting there like wanting to watch a movie or talk to me about something. So in that sense, I do need to be isolated. But when I'm not doing those things, I need to be around people. I crave, as John Mulaney would say, attention. I like attention. Otherwise, I wouldn't have this ridiculous podcast. The worst thing of all for an actor is, like, I think a lot of us think that, and this is me speaking to from my grief with my grandfather, is that if we were to let go of what pains us, it would kill what fuels us. And so then we just don't do it. And like, I get it. Like, healing doesn't ruin creativity. It probably strengthens it. But sometimes we want to stay in that dark, terrible place. And that's why you hear about so many creative people dying so young, because they die by suicide. So this is, again, from my research. Here are some signs that a creative person, maybe even you, might be struggling. You feel numb and uninspired even about your work. You avoid people or isolate for long periods of time. You use substances to escape, not to celebrate. You're working constantly and still feel like it's never enough. You're dealing with constant anxiety, mood swings, or you're burnt out. Or you feel your art is the only thing that gives you worth. If any of that resonates with you, you're not alone. And that's not something you have to live with indefinitely. But I couldn't say how long you'd have to live with it or how to even deal with it, because I don't know myself. Well, I sort of do know. But the thing is, for me, is I do feel like art is the only thing that gives me worth. And I do feel like if I don't die, I'll be a miracle. If I don't create something that will outlive me and be around long after I die, I feel like I will have failed not only myself, but my entire bloodline. So that is something that I deal with, and something that is categorically false, but it's there, and it doesn't go away. It nags at me. It's like a woodpecker on the side of my head. You know, they always tell you, create for yourself, not for approval. It takes the pressure off and whatever. Not everything you make has to be shared. Some art is just medicine for you. But the thing is it's kind of hard to make something without wanting someone to tell you that it's good. I'm just being honest. Like, I create not because I want to be, you know, some famous person. Like, fame is not the goal here. The goal is to create something that will outlive me, but something that not only will outlive me, but something that will help somebody else who may be struggling in the same way that I did. I can't tell you how many times I've turned to a movie to laugh or to cry or whatever, just to get through whatever I needed to get through. These things have saved my life. But as like creatives, I think it's really, I've realized in the last year that it's really important to, you know, set boundaries and relax and not pay so much attention to what people who don't matter to me personally. Everybody matters to someone, but people who are just here to, you know, spew negativity or make up rumors or cause drama because that's all they have in their life, you need to create boundaries with those people. And this is not you taking a break from creativity or whatever. This is part of processing creativity. You can't be around people who don't understand what you're trying to achieve. If you tell somebody your dreams and they laugh at it, you need to walk away. This is not a friend for you. And I've had many, many people look at me and be like, you really think that you can do that? And I've done so many things that they have so much trouble believing are possible that they've, you know, told themselves that it didn't really happen, even though there's evidence. The thing with that is it's dangerous because being around people like that makes you question your worth, because why don't they like me? An actor is a man who wants everybody looking at them until they're looking at them. I'm like Marlon Brando famously said, I could be in a room with 100 people and if one of them doesn't like me, I have to get out. I'm the same way. It's just, it's, and I think that's, that all goes back to, you know, mental health. But if you're feeling any of this stuff, you need to talk to someone, whether that's a therapist, you know, a friend, a support group. Just get what's in your head out, and then you'll feel lighter. Personally, I don't go to therapy. I'm just being honest in the interest of transparency. I don't go to therapy because I have a hard time trusting people with my stories, with my vulnerability. I keep it to myself, or I talk to very specific friends. I went to a support group when I was a kid, like 10, 11 years old, for grieving children. So it was me and a group of like other kids who had lost someone who was very special to them, and they were grieving. And I just remember this one kid telling the class that his grandfather had been reincarnated as a tractor, and that the woman who was leading the meeting had not corrected him. And it had made me very uncomfortable because I felt like maybe, you know, somebody should tell him that that's not really possible. Like the tractor is not human. And that always bothered me. It bothers me to this day. And because of that, I cannot go to group therapy. Like, I just feel it obviously traumatized me in some way. And so now, like, you know, I've spent all these years trying to like reclaim my narrative since my grandma passed away also, but since she passed away after my grandpa. So after they passed, a lot happened, and for years I just choked it back, and now I'm trying to reclaim my narrative. I am not broken. I'm human. Like, I'm sensitive. I think sensitivity comes with the I'm a creative thing, and it's a gift. But it's a gift that I need to take care of. So I've had to distance myself from people who just are toxic. And I think that that's important for all of our mental health. Toxic people are not toxic for everyone. They're not automatically a bad person just because they're not good for you. That's something that I think is also important to remember. I searched for resources specifically for creatives who need help with their mental health and may not want to, you know, reach out for whatever reason. So these are some of the places that I found, but I don't have the links, but I will find them and post them. So there's an organization called Backline, which offers support for musicians and industry professionals. There's the Actors Fund, which offers mental health resources for performing artists. Music Cares, financial and wellness support for artists. Open Path Collective, affordable therapy for freelancers and creatives. And the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, educational and support nationwide. So this is in the United States. So yeah, you're not weak for needing help, by the way. You're strong for choosing to keep creating, even though it's really hard. And even though a lot of people are mocking you, that's like, to me, it's like the bravest thing that you can do. And I say this fully as a creative, but not to be a hypocrite. I do also have some resources for people who are not in the industry. And that is like, so if you're listening now and you're struggling, please know this and trust me when I say this, your life does matter more than anything, anything in the world. Like, it's the most important thing that you'll ever be given. You're allowed to rest and you're allowed to feel happy when you feel happy and you're allowed to ask for help when you need it. That's like, I need you to know that. So some organizations for people who are non-creative. So the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, you can call or text. And then there's also mentalhealth.gov. And so BetterHelp, Talkspace, Crisis Text Line. So you can text the word home to 741741 and you can get assistance that way. I know a lot of people like to do their trauma dumps and stuff anonymously. And I know this because for years, my mom used to call the, she called it the helpline. I'm not exactly sure what the name is, but it's one of these hotlines, and it saved my mom's life. Like, she would not be here today. I would not have a mom if it wasn't for that helpline, which I found so annoying at the time too, because I was like 16 years old and she would spend so much time like repeating herself, and I did not understand why, but I do now. And it's like, I'm so grateful that that was there. And also, this is like not just for the LGBTQ community. Anybody can reach out to the Trevor Project, anybody, and they will listen to your story. I know in the US, Donald Trump has defunded suicide hotlines for that community. Fortunately, Canada has made their line available toll-free to the US, which is like mind-boggling. I think it should have been that way all along. But Trevor Project has always been there, and they are not government funded. They rely on donations. So you can always get in touch with the Trevor Project and they will always be willing to listen, whether you're gay, straight, bi, whatever you are, they're always happy to listen. And if you're listening to this and you don't want to make a call, but you would be interested in helping someone, it costs the Trevor Project approximately $15 to take a single call. So if you feel generous and are in a position to do so, you could head over to trevorproject.org and you can make a donation of $15 and know that your $15 potentially saved a life today or tomorrow or whatever. At some point, you spent $15, which is like one Starbucks order, and somebody's life is saved, which is a really beautiful thing. That's why I always champion for the Trevor Project, because I know what they do and I know how well they do it. And I'm really impressed by them and always have been. Yeah, as you can see, like, I've talked for probably a solid 40 minutes now, but talking about this makes me just as uncomfortable as it makes you, because I don't want to be judged or stigmatized either, but that's going to happen. But it's important to remember things. For example, if you are a person who has bipolar, you are not bipolar. If you are a person who has depression, you are not depression. Because, I mean, bipolar can be treated, first of all. Depression can be treated. Depression can be cured. And I'm saying that from experience. You are not the things that, I don't know how to explain this or how to word this eloquently. You are not your illness. Like, you are so much more than that. You would never say to somebody who has cancer, you are cancer. You would never say to somebody who has AIDS, you are AIDS. You would say that they are a person with AIDS or a person with cancer, and you would treat them with dignity, because that's exactly how we should treat everyone. So if you are dealing with any sort of mental health condition, please understand that whatever your diagnosis is, you are not that. I have post-traumatic stress, but I am not post-traumatic stress. I am Melanie. I am a weird little creative who loves very childish things, who is a big Robert De Niro fan, who is crazy enough to believe that she can do things that nobody thinks she can do until she does them, who is still grappling with Tom Brady's retirement because she loved him that much. I am a girl who loves too much, but I am not PTSD. I am not anxiety. I am not depression. I'm not any of that stuff. I'm just me. And that's the same for you and for anyone who's listening. You are not what ails you. If you have the flu, do you go around and say, I am the flu? No. So don't go around and say, I am bipolar. Say, I struggle with bipolar disorder. And then try to make people understand what that means and what that looks like, because you can be medicated, like I said, like somebody like a Demi Lovato who has gone through hell and is now like completely healthy. She looks amazing. And you would never look at her and go, oh, she must be going through it. But she probably still has those days. It's just a natural part of life. And it's really a shame that for so many years it was stigmatized, because now we are left with several broken generations. And with the way the world's going right now, I don't know that we'll ever see the end of this. I mean, I certainly don't think we'll see it in our lifetime, but I have hope that future generations might. But with this whole internet and social media and everything, I mean, social media and internet has been part of my life for all of it, but it's gotten worse now. Like, the pressure to make a perfectly filtered photo is so bad that sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and I hate my face because I don't look like a filter. And I know I'm not the only one who feels that way. And that fucks with your mental health, because then you're like, oh, I look so old. What's going on? Or my skin looks so dry. It triggers a lot of different things. Christina Aguilera talked about that. You know, she has that beautiful song, Beautiful, no pun intended. And she re-recorded it, I think, last year and re-released it. And she talked about how much more pressure there are on young people to please people on social media that we don't even know. Like, oh, how many likes can I get for this one? Maybe if I show more boob, I'll get more likes. Maybe if I show more ass, I'll get more likes. Like, it's a really strange way of thinking, even for me. And I'm a pretty modern thinking person. That's the thing about me. See, I'm young, but my soul is really old. Like, I love things that are really, really old. And some people think that that's weird. And see, you, it doesn't even have to be mental health related. People will still judge you for whatever it is that you like, or whoever it is that you are. And the whole point of this episode is just to let you know that you are not alone in your struggle, and your struggle does not define who you are. It's a chapter. It's not the whole story. It is not the whole story, my friends. And I really appreciate every single one of you who tunes into this podcast, especially the last few weeks. Well, no, you haven't been tuning in the last few weeks because I haven't been here, but especially the last few episodes where I've been just talking by myself about things that are on my mind or whatever, because as I said, I've been reluctant to booking guests because I'm in the midst of moving. But since that's almost done, I have started reaching out to people to guest on the show. I know you guys love when I have guests. I reached out to Mark Tallman, who is an insanely talented actor, and nobody's paying me to say this. He is currently starring on Your Friends and Neighbors, which also stars Jon Hamm, Olivia Munn, and the amazing Amanda Peet. Not since Breaking Bad have I been this invested in a show. It's so good. And again, no one's telling me to say this, and no one's paying me to say this, but you should watch it. It's on Apple Plus. The last episode is airing this week. And so you need to like boogie over to Apple Plus or Apple TV or whatever you call it and watch the like all the episodes so that you can watch the finale in real time. Take Monday off if you have to watch it. It is that good. So yeah, this is pretty much where I'm going to end the episode, because I veered off topic and started talking about, you know, a television series. But again, TV and film has been therapeutic for me. So that's why. I just want to remind you, you're not alone. If you need to talk, you can reach out to me. Most of you know where to find me because you follow my personal Instagram. But for those of you who don't, you can find me on Twitter at a blonde who talks. I know it's not called Twitter anymore, on X, if the DMs are working that day. Or you can find me alternatively on, so I created an Instagram for this podcast, but for some reason you guys continue to just go following it on X, and we have yet to crack 5,000 followers, which is weird because of how many listeners we have. So yeah, you could go over to Instagram at This Blonde Can Talk. And if you send me a DM, I will read it and I will respond as soon as possible. I'm not always on the internet or always on Instagram, because if I stayed on there all day, I would go crazy. But I will see your message. And if there's something I can do to help you just by listening, I'll do it. And if not, if you can't find a resource and you need help finding resources, I'm happy to do that too, because you matter, your mind matters, and your life matters. I don't know what more I can say, just other than that, you really are a special person, even though I don't know you. Whoever's listening to this, you are so special. And you are, to someone in this world, you are the whole world. So understand that and take it for what it's worth. I was going to share this at the top of the episode, but I just didn't. There are going to be some overhauls going on this podcast. I think we'll probably make it to episode 110 before they happen. But I am planning on completely revamping the show, and I'm gonna like set up a whole new setup in the way that I record, so that I can give you guys full video access over on YouTube, because I've been getting a lot of people asking about it, and apparently the short clips that I post to Instagram are not enough, and I'm also gonna start posting them on TikTok. Maybe I'll start doing that today. Start throwing them back, posting the throwbacks on TikTok, and the TikTok's username will just be This Blonde Can Talk. So hopefully I'll see you guys over there too. And we'll get to, our following will grow quicker than the Instagram one has. A few other shout outs. I want to give a shout out to John Mulaney, because I wasn't going to mention this on this episode, but I have to, because it's too funny for me to keep inside. Last May, I went on a quest to try and get on John Mulaney's show, and it did not work. So this year, when he started the show up again, I got through on like week two, and I almost got on, but then I didn't get on. And since that didn't work out for me, guys, I like created a fake name and a fake email and a fake phone number for them to call me back on, and I finally got on the show. Hey, tell me I can't do something and watch me do it. We were talking about my chronic insomnia, and I'll never forget Patton Oswalt saying that I sounded like I was turning into a country song, because I said that insomnia is the only thing my dad ever gave me that stuck around. And the reason for that is it's true, and I say it all the time on this podcast. So if you were watching Everybody's Live with John Mulaney, and you heard that, that was me. If you don't watch Everybody's Live with John Mulaney, even though you can't call in because this week will be the finale, I highly recommend. It's like a natural antidepressant. Laughing can cure just about any ailment. And final shout out that no one is paying me for. Oh no, there are two. One is Emily Wilson at The Real Emily Wilson. She has a comedy special. It's called Fixed. It's on YouTube and it's hilarious. And she's had tons of views, but that's not the point. Everybody needs to see it. Excuse me, my throat's getting a little dry from talking too much, which I do often. So please check out Emily's special, and also check out her podcast that she hosts with her best friend, the amazing Chloe Richmond. They are All Body, No Brains. That's the name of the show. At All Body, No Brains across all socials. You will be laughing, which again is very therapeutic. And again, nobody is paying me to say any of this. But people are paying me to say these three things. I just want to say thank you to my sponsors, starting with Michael Solberg Family Wines. You can check them out on Instagram at MICHAELSOLBERGFAMILYWINES. Delicious California wines. Second, Huxware. It's the camel toe eliminating moisture wicking underwear made for women by women. You can find them on Instagram at HUXWEAR. They're actually amazing. They're now partnered with WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus, so you might want to check that out. And last but not least, Snack Conscious, the protein balls that actually taste good, and that is actually true. You can find them on Instagram at SNACK CoinCious, or you can alternatively visit their website, www.snackconscious.com. I feel so weird when I do sponsored stuff. So when I overhaul this, I'm going to have someone else do it for me so that I don't have to repeat it every single episode because it sounds weird. Okay. I'm going to go, but I want to thank you guys for tuning in and sticking with me through this and through every other episode that I put out. I don't know when the next episode will be. It could be next week if I have something that I'm really passionate about talking about or something happens that needs to be discussed, or it could be in a couple of weeks, depending on my moving situation. So just stay tuned, be patient with me, know that I love you and appreciate all of your support. We're just about to hit 60,000 followers on Twitter, which is great. But people are still contacting me on my personal Twitter, which is fine. It has much larger following. And again, I just appreciate everyone who sits through these podcasts. And if you're feeling down and you want to laugh, because as I told you, laughter is therapeutic, and you want to stick to the This Blonde Can Talk About Anything podcast to make you laugh, I highly suggest that you go back to episode 8, and it's called Is It Really Fun to Stay at the YMCA? Give that episode a listen and then come back to me and share your thoughts, because I'm dying to know what you would think of it. Happy Memorial Day weekend, by the way. Thank you to every single person who put their life on the line so that we could live in freedom. My grandfather is a Korean War veteran, and I am so grateful to the young man who shot him in the knee and sent him home so that he could be my grandpa. I hope he made it home too. Okay, before I start crying, because I am on the verge of like hormonal something, like PMS, okay? I'm being brutally honest. I'm on the verge of PMS. I'm gonna go. So bye. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I hope that you are being safe this weekend. Take care. Talk soon. Again, bye.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with The Real Colin Jost.